If you think rightly, you allow God's word to control your heart and mind. Confessing your sin, you are yielded and obedient. Your life will manifest purity, reverence, and dignity, sound speech, which cannot be rightly criticized. Godly teaching lived out, Jesus redeemed you for good reason.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Hey Greg, today we'll conclude our look at how young men are to live, and it's really an important message for all of us.
You know, Dave, it is, and indeed the message has direct and important applications specifically for young men, but the mandates are ones that we can and should all strive for each day. So what are these mandates? Our text is Titus chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, or literally, in the doctrine pure. In the doctrine, in the sphere of doctrine, pure. Now this word purity in the NASB is not our usual word for purity. It is the Greek word apathora, and it speaks of without corruption. Whenever you add an A or an alpha primitive to a Greek word, it negates it. So pathora would mean corruption. Apathora would mean without corruption. And then in the New Testament, there is only one usage of this word apathora, and it's right in this verse. But there are other usages of the word pathora, which is corruption, in other passages, which helps us get an idea of what corruption is, and then here, what it is to be without corruption. The word means without corruption, and we see this in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn there together, 2 Peter 1. We're going to look at verses 2 through 4 to get an idea of what this purity is really like. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. What a wonderful, wonderful discourse here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Wow, that's wonderful. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, that's what Paul wants. What a wonderful statement. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I shared that earlier. Through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence, through the true knowledge of Christ. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, that's the word of God, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. You might become like Christ, Christ-like. Having, here you go, escaped the corruption, there it is, plethora, corruption, that is in the world by lust. You see, apart from God, our desires produce corruption, right? Corruption. That's why they say purity there. Because the uncorrupted life is a pure life without sin, right? It's our desires that produce corruption, and we see that in the life of the non-believer, and we see that at times in our lives. Peter is talking about corruption, the corrupted sinfulness, the wicked behavior that stems from man's lust apart from God. Thus, in our passage, Titus is to be showing himself an example of good deeds, allowing sound teaching to manifest or show the opposite of a sin-corrupted life. That's the good deeds that will manifest in that context. A pure life which comes from right thinking. Young men, you are prone to go after the corruption of this world. We are prone to be corrupted by our desires, right? It's everywhere. We're prone to that, right? We need to be thinking right and then thus being not corrupted. He's talking about here in context, the Word of God manifests so that your life is an example of purity. Isn't that what we see in Psalm 119? How can a young man keep his way pure? Keep it from being corrupted by the desires that we were redeemed from, which bring about sin, by keeping it according to thy word. Psalm 119:11, that was 9. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist recognizes it is the treasure of God's good word that God uses to protect him from sin. It's what keeps me focused on Christ and away from my own desires. Therefore, I have treasured it in my heart. One pastor says, what keeps you in line with the word and a pure obedience to it? Put the teaching in the heart and then submit to it and obey it and live it out, the teaching of Scripture. Thus, Titus was to be a model of integrity, of purity, consistent living, which would demonstrate to the rest of the young men exactly how they were to live. Titus, you are to speak sound doctrine, but you're to live it too. You're to show it, be an example of good works. I think that's what he's saying. So then, Titus, God's word, let it produce purity in your life for all to see. Secondly, I believe, let the teaching produce a dignified life for all to see. Back to our passage in Titus chapter 2. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible, verse 7, in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds, and with connection, this passage that's connected, with purity in doctrine, or literally in doctrine pure. Then he says, dignified. I believe grammatically in doctrine, in the sphere of that, let it produce dignity. Now our word translated dignified, we've seen it a few times already in Titus. The phrase speaks of serious and worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect. Serious and worthy conduct. Well, certainly young men are tempted to not be serious and not to be reverent, and certainly that would be something that the Word of God would need to exemplify in the life of someone really walking with Christ. Titus, be an example. Let the Word of God produce dignity in your life. And ultimately, that's Christ doing it. We saw it earlier that older men are to be dignified, right? Titus 2:2. Do you remember one of the qualifications for elders, 1 Timothy 3, was that they were to handle their children with all dignity, keeping them under submission with all dignity, right? And we talked about that. It's not yelling and screaming to keep your kids under control. There is a dignity about it. There is serious and worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect. And indeed, we see in 1 Timothy 3 that it is a characteristic of deacons. They need to be men, and we see they're women of dignity. And elders are not women, but deacons, we see, they are to be men and also women of dignity. And here Titus is to be one whose life is an example of sound doctrine producing dignity in his life. Titus's life should be conducted in such a way that it earns reverence and respect. There is a seriousness to how he behaves, and that should be an example to the other younger men. And as I've shared, youth are prone to frivolousness. Things can degrade very quickly to that which is not reverent and not serious. Now, I'm not saying you can't have fun and enjoy one another. It's speaking of those youthful lusts that degrade to this kind of frivolous fancy. Doesn't mean we can't laugh or have fun, but ultimately, the Word of God brings a right reverence and seriousness to life. Young men, we need to be thinking rightly, and this should be a manifestation of it. And they're saying, Titus, be an example of this. Be an example of this. So then, let God's Word produce purity in your life. Secondly, let God's Word produce a dignified life. And lastly, let the Word teaching lead to sound speech that cannot be rightly criticized. Again, verse 6, likewise, urge the young man to be sensible. There it is. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, or in the doctrine, purity, dignified, and then the third one, sound speech, which is beyond reproach. The last of three, sound speech, which is beyond reproach. We've seen that word sound earlier. It's the same word used to modify doctrine. It speaks of healthy as opposed to sick. Healthy speech. It is not sick. It is not infected with sin. It is healthy speech. Not much explanation needs to be given here. Titus is to be manifesting sound, healthy speech. He's to be an example of that, allowing God's word to manifest that in his life. The renewed minds, thinking sensibly and then speaking ultimately sensibly, soundly. Is it not especially a temptation for youth to have speech that is not sound? And one thing we must remember, our speech is an evidence of where our heart is at. Matthew 12, as Jesus rebukes the Pharisees because on the outside they seem to have okay speech, but he was going to hit the heart now. Matthew 12, 34, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of the good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Titus, sound speech. It's an evidence of right thinking. Be an example of that. It's an evidence of a right heart that brings about right speech. Show yourself an example of that, Titus. Let the word of God bring that about in your life. Be convicted by the word of God and be changed by Christ. Sound speech. And again, is this not what Paul told Timothy, a young man, the same thing? A young man, 1 Timothy 4:12, you can just zip back a couple pages. Paul tells Timothy, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness." Let no one look down. Timothy was a young man, right? Maybe a really young man. But rather, here we go, in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, those things we've seen. Show yourself what to be an example to those who believe. Be an example, Timothy. Be an example. Titus, you be an example of this. Allow the word to bring about the life of Christ in you, that your speech would be godly, emanating from a changed heart that is renewed moment by moment and day by day. Titus, be sound in speech. And this speech, as we see, sound in speech, which is, back in Titus 2, which is beyond reproach. This type of speech, healthy speech, cannot be rightly criticized. People are going to criticize all the time. That's always going to happen, right? But this cannot be rightly criticized. It's beyond reproach. No one can reproach it. Titus, allow the word of God to be manifest in your speech so that no one can rightly criticize or reproach you for what you have said. Young man, we have a tendency to speak first. Peter was like that, right? What a change in Peter after he received the Spirit of God in Pentecost, right? What a difference in his speaking when he was yielded to Christ. What a difference. And he grew in that, and we see the manifestation of that in 2 Peter as he's writing his final letter. Let me ask you, young men, and ask myself, are we sound in speech? If we're not, our thinking is not right, because our speech is a manifestation of our thinking. I'm going to read back in Ephesians again, where we see this whole process. Ephesians 4:17. And I'll repeat it again. "This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer like the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Then they have become callous, given themselves over to sensuality for every practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have been heard in him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceits. Now you lay it aside and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness of the truth." Then he says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth." Renew the mind in the word of God, the truth that is in Jesus, and speak truth. Right? First application there. Sound speech. Titus, here to be an example of this. Young men, look for godly men who manifest a yielded life, the word of God dwelling richly, where we see this in their lives. So what is Paul saying to Titus? Let your life manifest good works. Let the word of God manifest purity, a life that's not corrupted by sin. For all to see, a dignified life, one that it manifests reverence. And then sound speech that cannot be rightly criticized. Titus, that's the way you should be showing yourself as an example. Do you realize what's being said here? Good works encompass those things which are done in the context of purity, dignity, and sound speech as the Word of God dwells richly in the life of a yielded believer manifesting those good works in that context. How many people do good things and do not have sound speech? How many people do good things and have corrupted lives? How many people do good things and yet are not dignified? Titus be an example. Is this not why we were saved? Titus chapter 2 again, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And now that same grace, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, is instructing us. Christ, that same grace that appeared, bringing salvation, is instructing us now through His own word to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us, and here we go, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed to purify, that word pure, for Himself, a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds, walking in righteousness, desiring for Him to manifest His life, zealous for good deeds. Young men, do you get it? I hope we do. If you think rightly, you allow God's word to control your heart and mind. Confessing your sin, you are yielded and obedient. Your life will manifest purity, reverence, and dignity. Sound speech, which cannot be rightly criticized. Godly teaching lived out. Jesus redeemed you for good works. That's what He's doing. Young men, look for godly men who allow the Word of God to work in them, producing purity, dignity, sound speech, and follow their example of a godly life lived out. Now, as we finish, why all this, Titus? Why all this? Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself an example of the good deeds and with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Here we go, the end of verse 8, the reason why young men are to be thinking sensibly, the reason why Titus is to be an example of this, in order that the opponent may be put to shame. There's the reason. The term opponent is in the singular. It speaks of someone who is contrary or opposed. It's translated of winds that are contrary or opposed, those who are opposed. It speaks of opposition. Now, I'm not totally sure who Paul is referring to here. Certainly, Satan is the adversary. He is God's opponent, and he opposes God's children. He is the accuser of the brethren. He certainly opposes us before God verbally. And Scripture is clear that those in his domain, the world, will hate us because they hate Christ. They will oppose us also, John 15. You can look at that, 18 through 20. So then who is the opponent here? Singular. I'm not sure. I think it could be speaking of Satan. More likely, it's speaking of those in his domain doing his will by default who would be desiring to accuse God's people just like their spiritual father, the devil. They're waiting for God's people to mess up so that they can say, look at that Christian, what he did. And he's saying here, Titus be an example so that the opponent will be put to shame. Nothing, having nothing bad to say. Not one thing to say bad about us, he says. Us. And then we see ultimately this idea of being put to shame. It speaks of reproach. Hopefully the opponents, our opponents who are unsaved, will be put to shame. And maybe that shame would lead to their repentance. Maybe that shame, because they have nothing bad to say and they are ashamed. And maybe, just maybe, they would glorify God on the day of visitation because of the lives of His people that were lived out in righteousness and gave no opportunity for reproach. Is that not what the Lord was saying in Matthew 5? You are the salt of the earth, verse 13. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore, except being thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light, not be the light. Don't try to be the light. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Titus be an example of good works. He says here that they and glorify your Father who is in heaven. One last passage. We have 1 Peter, ultimately, chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Maybe, just maybe, God may use the example of Christ's life in you to bring glory to the Father someday. Titus, be an example of this, so that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say. Godly lives that the world cannot bring reproach. Be an example. Purity in doctrine pure, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. Godly lives that the world cannot reproach. Wow, what a different plan of redemption than we have in churches these days. Rather than crusades and all sorts of stuff and festivals and motocross bikes and whatever it is they're doing over there. Instead of that, letting the Word of God be manifest in your lives, that people would glorify God because they have nothing bad to say about you. Rather than trying to win people by being like them, people who glorify God because you are like Christ. God's way is different. And a body of believers yielded to Christ, controlled by His Word, manifesting His life, so that an ungodly world would be put to shame and maybe repent and give God glory. God's plan is different. Today we've seen God's plan for young men, simply put, thinking rightly. The Word of God dwelling richly in the heart and minds of young men. Young men, you got to be in the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to want to be in the Word of God. You need to desire it like food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are tempted to lean on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own ways, and we are exhorted to be thinking rightly instead. Titus, be an example of that. Be an example that there would be nothing bad to say about us. And I believe that God would be glorified. Well, how can we do it? We can't do it. We can't be an example. We can't think rightly. We need Christ to do it, right? We need to have a yielded heart before the Lord. We need to recognize the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. And that same grace, God's unmerited favor in Christ through His Word, is instructing us now to do these things. We're not able, but when we yield before the Lord God, He is able to do that in us, that we would think rightly and then manifest His will and bring glory.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in your message today, you said that God's plan for young men is to think rightly and that it's not about crusades or festivals. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, Dave. Just very simply, what I meant by that is going to some crusade or religious festival that is about making you more like Jesus or whatever it might be is not going to transform your life. The reality is, although there may be a powerful emotional experience, there's not going to be a fundamental change. That change, actually, that is needed, that right thinking, can only come through the renewal of the mind by God's Word day in and day out. You see, it's not a one-time event. It's just an ongoing good fight of faith, a daily choice to conform your heart and mind to what God says rather than what the world and your flesh might desire. So if you want to see change in your life, If you want to think rightly and sensibly, then spend time in God's Word. Let His Word address your heart and change it for your good and His glory.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.